You're listening to the Fourth Wall Podcast, recorded October 30th, 2013.
Halloween 2013 spooktacular fucking awesome Woo! Podcast edition.
Resurrection edition.
Yeah, resurrection. I'm Jesse.
I'm Freddy.
And I'm Danny.
Yeah, we're back. Art is here, but he is... Art is here in spirit, get it? Because it's Halloween spirit.
Yes.
Spirit. But yeah, so we're back. We took a little... We were 6 feet under for a while. But we have been resurrected here on All Hallows Eve to provide more enjoyment for you, the listener, because you guys were clamoring for it like a bunch of zombies. Woo. Trying to wonder how many puns I can fit in here, Halloween related, with this opening. But anyway, we're back. That's all that
matters.
Let's
just get right down to it.
Okay, so we got some things we're going to talk about here. Again, all Halloween related, because that's why we're all here. We all love this holiday so much. First thing, Freddie mentioned earlier, he wanted to talk about some hidden Halloween gems. What are some films that you guys really enjoy? Let's do three. We'll do three movies that you think are either underrated, no one really talks about, but are that you think are really good Halloween or horror-related stories that don't get a lot of attention. Like, Freddie, what do you think? Like, what would be three movies?
Yes, I have my three ready to go.
Oh, shit.
I tell a lot of people about these whenever they're... ask, because I think people kind of, for whatever reason, they already know that I'm into horror movies.
Yeah, they just look at
they
you.
Know me. Or they're like, that looks like a guy that probably watches a lot
that
of
dude watches
fucked
a lot
up
of
movies.
Horror.
The three are, first off, Session 9.
Oh, yeah.
Martyrs.
Oh.
And if you want something a little bit more, I guess, not as heavy, I would go with...
Kindergarten Cop.
It's pretty scary, but I was going to say Cemetery Man, which is also known as De La Muerte de la Mort, which has Rupert Everett in it. So the first one, Session 9, is an American film. It's in English, so if you don't want to watch something with subtitles, this is the one you're going to want to check out. It was on Netflix for a while. I don't know if it still is. It's brilliant in its simplicity. It doesn't try to do a bunch of found footage or, it's just about some guys going into an insane asylum to clean the place up, and things just go horribly wrong throughout the movie. And you don't hear a lot about it. And I really don't want to say too much about it because, there's lots of twists that happen throughout, and that's really what makes it so great. It just has a really great tone throughout of just dread. Which to me, that I love that in a horror movie when there's that, like, just you always feel tense watching it. The second one I mentioned, Martyrs, definitely has that, but like,
yeah,
to 11, where starts out, it's these girls are kidnapped as children, and then they eventually escape, and then as adults, they're gonna find the people that kidnapped them and have their revenge. And then upon doing so, they find the people, but get way in over their head in doing so. And just, like, it's another one where I can't really say too much because you just kind of gotta watch it. It's like, it's kind of like a ride, you don't know what's gonna happen next. That one's French. Yeah, it's probably the craziest of the three. And then the third one, Cemetery Man, De La Muerte de la Mort. I think it's in English, but it's an Italian film, but I think the actors speak English. I haven't watched it in like 5 years, but I love it. It's a great movie. When I was younger, I used to watch it all the time. I had a VHS copy of it, and then I upgraded to DVD. And,
of course. Not to Laserdisc?
haven't got that one yet.
Oh, okay.
But it's got like silly parts, but it's also, I remember when I first heard about the movie, the thing that got me really excited to go to see it, because at the time I was watching a lot of like Lucio Fulci zombie movies and, you know, George Romero and all that kind of stuff. And the ad for this movie said a thinking man's zombie movie. And I was like, I'm a thinking man.
I'm one of those thinking men.
I know how to think. And then I watched it, and it definitely does things with the whole zombie genre that you probably hasn't been done before or since. So if you think you know zombies because you've seen like Walking Dead or, you know, all that kind of stuff, you should really check out Cemetery Man, because it was way ahead of its time, and I still don't think modern zombie movies have gotten to the level that movie did zombies. So what about you, Danny? What are your three?
Well, before I go into my list, I just want to back up. Although I haven't actually seen any of those movies, your three, those are the De La Morte and Session 9, of two movies I've always been meaning to see. But Session 9, I just want to mention, I know that it was filmed in an actual closed-down insane asylum in Massachusetts, close to where I grew up. And it was the kind of place where it's like Hawthorne Institute or Hawthorne something. And it was a place where a lot of like kids would sneak in to drink and stuff like that. So even though I still haven't seen Session 9, I know it just kind of adds to the history of that movie.
The lore.
The lore, knowing that they filmed it in a real closed-down place that actually...
Yeah, it adds that extra kind of substance to it.
Yeah.
To know that it's real.
Yeah. But for my three picks, I have... my first one is... I haven't seen... And these movies I haven't actually seen in a couple years, but they're movies that I usually think of when people ask me movies that are underrated that a lot of people haven't paid attention to. The first one is called No Man's Land, The Rise of Reeker, which is a pretty horrible title, but I think it's a surprisingly good movie.
It's too actually, much going on in that title.
It's kind of two titles going on at once, because it's a sequel to this, 2006 or 2005, I guess I could look that up, but a movie called Reeker, which was a very generic slasher film, which I actually saw at this horror movie film festival, and it was, you know, nothing really to speak of. It was just this about this monster who kind of stalks these college age kids, and you can smell him.
Why is he?
Comes.
Why is? Oh, okay. I was
it's
about
called
to ask
Reeker.
That.
It's called Reeker because he's. I guess he kind of floats in and out. He's made of like. He's made of.
Wait,
like,
so he's
gas.
Made out of like farts.
Sort of, basically.
Oh my god, it's horrifying.
And then for people who whatever want to see Reeker, I'm going to spoil it now because the surprise for Reeker, which is a pretty shitty, stupid surprise, is the whole basis of Reeker 2, where it kind of really got off the ground, is that the whole thing, it turns out, all the characters died in the very beginning in a car crash, and then the entire thing where they thought they got away from the car crash, and they end up at this closed down side of the road place, and then the Reeker starts attacking them in the middle of the night. It's because they were actually like in limbo, and the Reeker is
That's
like
amazing.
Death and is trying to claim them and get them back either onto death's side, or they can escape them and go back to the land of the living. It was a pretty cliche, dumb movie, but where the sequel, No Man's Land, came in was it immediately started off with that premise. So right away, and even if you haven't seen Reeker, it starts off with kind of this fantasy, cool premise where these people there's another type of car crash, there's an explosion, and you know basically that they're in this weird world between life and death, but you don't understand exactly what's going on, and then there's a creature out there kind of haunting them. So it uses a lot of funny moments, and it uses that premise to actually have some comedy, like a guy gets his head blown off and he's walking around with half his head open for the whole movie, not sure why this has happened, because you have to be like completely torn to shreds before you are claimed to the side of death.
Is it the same? So Reeker is always the same entity, like it's the same one from the first movie?
Yeah.
Or is there another Reeker?
I think it's just the same Reeker. In fact, I think
this is a horror comedy, correct?
It's kind of a horror comedy. I didn't expect it to be that.
Or because, harmony.
Yeah, harmony. But it's I didn't expect it to be a horror comedy going in, because Reeker, as kind of cliche as it was not a horror comedy. It actually had one or two good jokes, because one of the characters in that one was blind, and they did some fun stuff with that, but it wasn't a horror comedy. This is a bit more of a horror comedy with some fantasy elements thrown in, but it's still about a monster that's going around basically trying to pick off these people who are stuck in this land between life and death. And I liked it a lot. Maybe just compared to how bad the first one was, but I think if you've never seen Reeker, you will enjoy No Man's Land, Rise of the Reeker.
Rise of the Reeker.
What's your...
Speaking of movies where you enjoy the original
Keeping up with the poop jokes.
Yes. Speaking of movies where the original...
Oh, we're good to be back.
Is my jokes. Second choice is Tetsuo the Bullet Man. And it's the third in the Tetsuo trilogy, which I guess we didn't expect to be a trilogy when it started out, but it's the body horror movie, and I should have had the director's name ready to go here, but I didn't. Freddy, do you know?
Yeah, he's Japanese. He's one of those guys that, like, when I see his name, I'm like, oh, yeah, I think it starts with an F, like Fuji.
No,
it's, it's Shinya... Sakamoto.
There you go.
I was completely right.
With a silent T.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an F there somewhere.
And it's the original Tetsuo was a black and white, like surreal cyberpunk kind of movie with body horror thrown in there, like David Cronenberg type stuff. And
for those who don't know, what is body horror? Like, what is that?
That would be where your body. The horror comes from the idea of your body sort of going against the laws of nature, like things mutate. Videodrome. A lot of David Cronenberg movies, like anything where your body sort of starts to morph and meld. Like if you ever read the comic, what's it called, Black Hole, like that sort of thing, that indie comic. Like it's basically about where these people's body. All three Tetsuo movies are where the person's body sort of starts to meld with technology and metal, but not in a cool, not like a cool way where you become a cyborg or something. It's like the most horrifying way where it's bloody and disgusting and you're losing your humanity and stuff like that.
It's like that scene in one of those Nightmare on Elm Streets, I forget which one it was, where the guy melds into the bike. You remember that? Yeah,
exactly.
It's like that.
So the first one was in the 80s, the second one was in the 90s, and this one has that sort of video look to it that a lot of more recent Japanese movies have, which is something that I'm kind of put off from. Like, I like Asian horror movies to have sort of film look, but I did like this. I liked this one because it upped the ante as far as like production value, and it's a little less. I mean, the one thing that I don't know if this is the reason I liked it, but it's a little less surreal than the first two. Like, it definitely has moments where the narrative jumps, but it still has that tone of kind of despair and everything that the first two movies were known for. But putting the story in a slightly more linear, easy to understand way, but still with some parts where you're questioning it a little bit. So, I mean, it's not as perfect, it's not as great as the first two, but I liked the direction of the third movie, since I never expected there to be a third Tetsuo movie. I know, Freddy, you saw the Tetsuo movies. What did you think of the Bullet Man, the third one?
Well, I watched the first two probably over 10 years ago when I was first getting into, you know, cinema from other countries. And so I'd, you know, seen like David Lynch stuff, and someone, I think on the cover for one of the original Tetsuos, it said like something like David Lynch or inspired by Cronenberg and David Lynch. And I have to see this. And I really liked the first one because it was like black and white and gritty and just all over the place, crazy, like a Eraserhead, you know, on speed or something. The second one, I don't really remember too much about it. I think that one, it's in color, but it's still in Japanese. And then this third one, I attempted to watch it on Netflix and just couldn't get into it. The bad English was distracting.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that.
The acting of like the beginning of it, this guy's like a businessman in Japan, and I think he's American, right?
Yeah, he was like American or European. He was some sort of like.
And he's
Western.
Married to a Japanese woman, and they have a kid together, and the kid gets run over by this like mafia car or something. I don't know.
As it happens.
I didn't finish watching it, so I'm not really sure why the kid got ran over by the car. The fallout of that, and like the wife being upset about it. It was just a lot of, like, the acting is so bad. And, like, I think the originals were, like you said, they were more surreal. So you didn't really focus on the acting.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So far, your two choices have come with a lot of caveats.
There's a lot of, like, an asterisk. Or,
well, then that's why I saved the best one for last, because I don't.
Oh, shit.
I'll defend this movie, and I know lots of people will. It's George Romero's Martin. It was his take on vampires. I think it was his fourth film. George Romero, who directed Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead. He's done six zombie movies overall. He's known for a couple other horror movies like Monkey Shines. But
No one knows him for Monkey Shines.
If you're like, hey, you know George Romero? Oh, yeah, Monkey Shines?
Yeah.
Or Dark Half. If you grew up in a video store, you remember seeing the Monkey Shines box on the shelf.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you never saw the movie.
I didn't know it was fucking George Romero, though.
Yeah. But he also directed The Dark Half. He's known as a horror director. Martin was his take on vampires, but it's also a very original take on vampires. Obviously, years and years before. It's from the 70s, so it's years before everyone's trying to mess with mythology of vampires like they do now. It's about this sort of outcast teenager who may or may not actually be a vampire. Seems to believe that he's ancient, and he seems to believe that he needs to drink human blood to survive. But he admits that vampires don't really have fangs, so you're just not sure the whole time. There's this feeling of ambiguity, like this could be a realistic, like magic realism sort of thing where it's real and he's just crazy and thinks he's a vampire, or he could be a vampire. And I think what there's a lot of really good suspenseful scenes, like every time he plans to get some victims, each one of those scenes is written and directed so well, like especially a scene where he goes to get this woman in her house when she's alone and just happens to walk in while she's having an affair with some guy. So now he's got to like fight off the guy, but he can't really fight him. He's got to outwit him, keep them all in the house, not let them get outside and scream. They're running around the house, disconnecting the phone, trying to outwit each other. So it's there's so much original thinking in it. And it's so ahead of its time, like I said, in terms of everyone messing with vampire mythology all the time nowadays. So I definitely recommend it. I think it's probably one of his best films other than Dawn of the Dead.
I think it's really only a matter of time before this gets remade.
I was about to say, like, it's surprised this hasn't been remade yet. It sounds like something they would do.
They've remade Night of the Living Dead. They've remade The Crazies.
Dawn.
They've remade Dawn of the Dead. Yeah. They remade Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
So probably, 2015, probably Martin remake, I'm sure.
Well, they're running out of George Romero films to remake, so eventually they'll get through it.
I
want to
see
the
remake of, like, Diary of the Dead. Like, one of the more recent ones. Just go ahead
it. It's on, instead of, like, a camera, it's on an iPhone.
Like, right,
it's just
yeah,
a little
iPad.
Bit more recent. Like, it's just a tiny bit more. Well, those are good picks. I haven't seen Martin before, and now I really want to see it. That sounds awesome. Like, where can you? Is it? It's not on.
I have it.
You have it? Is it? It's not on Netflix, though. I would imagine.
I don't know if it is, but I mean, yeah, I have it too. Actually, my copy is signed by George Romero when he visited us in college a couple years ago.
So it's mine, you jerk.
Oh my god. Well, I don't have a copy, and it's not signed, so.
You're not getting mine.
I didn't ask. Anyway, so I guess it's my turn. So,
yes. Real
quick, without any explanation, I'll just say all three, rapid fire. Ernest Scared Stupid, The Worst Witch, and Hocus Pocus. Anyway, moving on. The three, one we actually talked about, my first one, we talked about, when was it, a couple of years ago, was Trick or Treat. Now, a lot of people might know it, but I don't think enough people know about it. Like, it's a cult favorite, but I really think it still doesn't get as much appreciation as it should. I just recently rewatched it as of a few hours ago before this recording, and it is just so damn good. Like, the vignettes that Michael Dougherty, right? Who wrote and directed it, I think.
It's your movie, dude.
Well, anyway, the vignettes that they do and the way that they're all interconnected and it all takes place in one night, and Sam, like, such a cool character. I don't know. It's such a fun film, and it really fills you up with the spirit of Halloween. And the performances are so goofy, and it has all these different tropes from horror films in it, and it's just a nice collection of stuff that really makes you feel good during around, especially if you're into Halloween and into that spirit. This really makes you feel good. Excuse me. And around this time, and it's really well written and well directed. The cinematography is really well done. It's a lot of fall colors and darkness and pumpkins, and like they use a lot of candlelight and things like that. And it's really good. If you haven't seen it, go find it. I don't think it used to be on Netflix. I don't know if it is anymore. But
I
it's
feel like it's
on
one of those Netflix not perennials, but one of those Netflix like mainstays. I always feel like they're constantly recommending it to me, and I just never click play on it.
Yeah, if you've thought
never seen it?
No, I know. I remember you guys recommending it a year or two ago, but I just hadn't gotten around to it.
Oh, you need to see it. Try and watch it before or around tomorrow, or Halloween, as it is tomorrow as of this recording. But try and watch it.
Of all the segments, which one do you think is your favorite, Jesse?
It's a split between the segments with the dad and the little son.
Dylan Baker?
Yeah, Dylan Baker and the little boy and his, like, weird, fucked up story. And then the final story with Brian Cox and Sam. There's the one story with the girls that has Anna Paquin in it about them trying to go to a party and her being a virgin, quote unquote. That's really clever. But honestly, the ones that I like the most are Sam, the Dylan Baker story, and then the one with the kids that go to the place where those that busload of kids fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like them all. It's hard to rank them because they're all fun, but I do like the Sam story the most just because it basically boils it down to that exactly what a horror movie is, kind of that, you know, kind of slasher, like my kind of horror films. I kind of lean more towards the slasher films for some reason. And I mean, Friday the 13th is a series that's close to my heart, as Danny and I did a very long retrospective about it a couple of years ago. It's very close to my heart. So the whole idea of Sam being, and like, I like the idea that Sam is like the spirit of Halloween. He looks like a kid. He's wearing a costume. You know, he uses candy as a weapon. If you don't follow the rules, he comes after you. Like, I really like that character a lot. But yeah, if you haven't seen Trick or Treat, go see it. And then see it now, because in a couple of years, there's going to be a sequel. They just announced recently to Trick or Treat. So it will be another anthology of stories, and I'm sure it will be great. There's also, I think, a graphic novel of it, or was going to be a graphic novel. I don't know if they ever released it.
Yeah, I remember that coming out.
Yeah, yeah. So you can pick up the book, too, and I think it's a mirror of the movie. But yeah, go see Trick or Treat. It's really good. And
if you want to hear us talk more in-depth about it, we did 2009. We did
2011. Or was it?
It was 2009.
Oh, was it?
We talked about Book of Blood, Dead Girl, and Trick or Treat.
Holy God. Well, it's up on the main site, breaktheforthwall.com.
That's why I don't remember the director's name, because it's been
so long.
I think
it's Michael Gordy. Well, he was co-writer of the X-Men films and all that.
Yeah, he's Bryan Singer's best friend.
That's why Anna Paquin and Brian Cox and stuff were in it, because Bryan Singer asked them, and they were like, sure. So, yeah, go see that and make it a mainstay every year, because it makes you feel good every time you see it. Okay, my second one.
I think you blew your load. You can't do better than that. I dare you.
Well, this second one, I'm not trying to do better. I'm just trying to raise awareness, I guess. Again, another one that we talked about in one of our previous – I'm more pimping out our previous podcast than I am recommending underrated movies. But Grave Encounters. This
talked about
one,
that for the 2011
yes,
Trio of Cinematic
Terrors.
That's
why terms. It got mixed up. So this one, again, this is, I like bringing this one up because this one, whenever people watch it, like people stumble on it and then I talk to them about it, they say, oh, man, that was pretty good. Because it's a found footage, quote unquote, film, but it's done in a way that I think is really clever. It basically the story, you can go and listen to the 2011 podcast if you want to go listen to our in-depth discussion about it. But I like the idea how they play with it as it follows a camera crew that does a paranormal activity show and just kind of follows these people that go into this location and they're kind of like bullshitting around and then things start actually happening and their reactions. But also I like it because it was done on a lower budget, but the effects are actually really clever and well done. There's a really subtle effect where they're inside, and then like the hospital that they're in, this abandoned hospital, changes around them, and the time of day starts changing, and it messes with them. Like, it's really subtle, clever stuff, and it keeps you you're creeped out the whole time you're watching.
Yeah, it has that sense of dread, like I was talking about going through. Once it gets started and they're in there, and like, I remember there's one scene where they're running up a staircase and they're trying to find the exit, they know that the exit should be somewhere around this area. And then they come, and it's just like the wall. There's like a wall at the top of the staircase. Like, why is there a wall here?
And it's just, you don't expect it, because when you watch it, when you see the cover, even you're like, okay, I know what kind of movie this is gonna be. Like, excuse me, this is gonna be horrible. Then you watch it, and you're surprised that it's actually pretty damn good. Like, the acting isn't too bad. The way it's shot isn't. It's handy cam, but it's not like shaky or, you know, distracting. It's actually really engaging, and you're kind of into it the whole way. And then near the end, you get really anxious because there's a really cool scene where the character is kind of isolated, the main character, and you feel very claustrophobic and very full of dread, as Freddie said, as you're watching it. And it's great. It's on Netflix as well. I wouldn't recommend the sequel as much.
Oh, God. Sequel. It's awful.
It's not very good. It's very disappointing, actually, compared to the original. So skip that, but definitely check out Grave Encounters, especially if you were a fan of, like, back in the day. Remember a few years ago, like, Ghost Hunters was really big, and Ghost Adventures and all those paranormal hunter shows? Like, if you were into that kind of a little bit, or you watch those, then definitely check out Grave Encounters, because it kind of spoofs it a little bit, but it does bring the idea of, like, okay, well, what if this shit was really, really happening, and you're watching it through their perspective? So that's pretty good.
One final comment on this. I thought they did it with this movie, Grave Encounters. They do a really good job of justifying, you know, the fact that they have the TV show is why they keep filming. So even when shit gets crazy, the main guy is like, we have to keep filming. You know, this is so crazy, so crazy.
Yeah, people
and
are not
so
gonna
it kind of it kind of makes sense that they keep filming. Whereas, like, I recently watched that movie, End of Watch. I don't know if it's not.
I've never
a
seen
movie,
it. Yeah, but it's, I was curious.
Jake Gyllenhaal's in it.
Is it
and he's a cop
footage?
And it's it's like partially found footage, but it like makes no sense as to why. I mean, they kind of explain it. But I don't want to go into that.
Well, it's
kind of
like I recently.
But it's just done so badly. Like, it shows like these like Latino gangs, like they're doing the found footage, and they're like filming as they're doing drive-bys, and I'm like, what?
Oh yeah, they do that. That's a thing. They film it and then watch it later and sell it.
They're like, woo, look at us.
Look at us. We did a great job, guys.
You know how we could have done that better? Let's watch the video.
Yeah, like, we could have came from this street instead of here. Guys, I really need some more commitment out of this gang. But, it does have that clever device. And unlike Paranormal Activity, like, 3 and 4, where there's no reason whatsoever why someone should be filming, this is kind of clever where it's like, it's a TV show. This guy's obsessed with getting this footage. So it makes sense. But yeah, Grave Encounters, check that out. My final film, and this one I think is just, I don't know if people just don't think about it anymore, or just is forgotten, but I love this film so much because of what it did to its franchise. But Wes Craven's New Nightmare, I think, is really underrated because it's not necessarily, I mean, it's not super scary, but the idea of what it did to the Freddy Krueger franchise is basically New Nightmare came in and it did the idea of, like, okay, well, this takes place in a universe where the Nightmare on Elm Street films actually happened, and it's following the actors that were in those films. But what if Freddy was still real? Like, what if he actually still exists in this world and he's hunting these people down that were in the original films? And it has a lot of cameos in it, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, like, where it talks about, like, the nature of the first films, and, like, Robert Englund plays himself in it, and he talks about being Freddy and that celebrity, but...
Is this the final one where Robert Englund played Freddy Krueger?
No, that was Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, that's
final,
right.
Final one.
Yeah, yeah.
But New Nightmare, this was the one where it kind of... It redesigned... It was supposed to be a reboot of sorts for Freddy as well, because they redesigned what Freddy looked like. He had a new glove, and he had, like, a new kind of backstory a little bit. And it's just really creepy because you don't know – it blurs the line of what is reality and what isn't and what's in the dream. Because, like, again, you're in the safety of these movies. Like, it's a movie, but now it's happening in real life. So what is real? What is this main character she's imagining? What is, like, what is happening? And it's really clever, and it's really well done. And I think if all you know of the Nightmare on Elm Street series is those first few films, or like Dream Warriors, or if you fell off at around Dream Child, or when it got really or Freddy's Dead, when it got really fucking weird, do yourself a favor and definitely check out New Nightmare. And it's also like one of the more recent, I mean recent, it happened a few years ago, but it's one of the Wes Craven films that overall is underrated, not just as a horror film, because I think it kind of got buried underneath, like he did Scream soon after and then all that shit, and it kind of got buried. But I really, if you can find a copy of it, pick up New Nightmare, and you'll see kind of a different take on the horror genre of itself. Because it is, again, it takes place in the world where the Nightmare on Elm Street films happened. So it's kind of their commentary on the response to Freddy and the idea and, you know, reality and what's fake and all that. It's really cool.
I feel like that's an idea that, I just want to defend your decision on that, because it's an idea that's kind of been not overused, doesn't happen a lot, but it's been used badly. Sort of now, like that was the premise of Blair Witch 2.
Yeah.
It was the premise of Human Centipede 2. But the way that Wes Craven did it, and he was kind of ahead of his, he was ahead was of everybody that, else yeah. on that, yeah, is it's, it really looks at like how being a part of these movies affected the actors almost in that way that kind of calls up how, you know, actors from Exorcist and Poltergeist have had bad fortunes in making those movies. It's kind of like this gloom around the actors involved in the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. And then it also takes Freddy, because Freddy does get so goofy in the later series, mm-hmm. That it takes him back to a scarier place, because you kind of realize because they try to explain him as this like incredible evil that's really existed in the world.
He's like a demigod almost.
Yeah,
in this
and he
He's
just like, took on yeah. the form of this pop culture horror monster in order to get people to believe in him so he could really come back and like really fuck up humanity, like not just have fun and make goofy jokes and kind of claim a soul here or there. Like he really wants to swallow people's souls, like in the most serious kind of way. So
yeah,
it was a really forward thinking story for that Wes Craven kind of came up with there.
And you're right, yeah, it is very ahead of its time. It's well before any of them, anyone else tried to do that, like, oh, well, let's, what if a horror film existed, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, definitely, those are my three. I recommend them highly. Trick or Treat, Grave Encounters, New Nightmare. Definitely check them out if you can find them. New Nightmare, again, I don't think it's on Netflix, but you can find it on iTunes. You can find a DVD copy of it somewhere, I'm sure. I think there was a Nightmare on Elm Street box set that came out not too long ago. I don't know if it was Blu-ray, but it should be in there as well.
Or you can go to your local video.
You can go to your local block. Oh, never mind. Not anymore. Anyway, so yeah, those are some things to watch for this Halloween or next or whenever. You can watch them whenever the fuck you want. Don't. It's your life.
While you were talking about that, I read that there's going to be a Scream TV series.
Yes.
Did you guys know this?
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to
be
the hell.
I never saw Scream 4. I never saw that.
I
know it's on Netflix.
My wife liked it.
Yeah.
That's my review.
Were you there?
That says it all.
Were you there when she watched it?
I was.
Okay, fair enough. That's it. That's all you need to know. I might check it out eventually. But anyway, so what's some other stuff you guys have been doing around this time, around Halloween time or in October, that have been horror or scary story related or something? It's movies, comics, books, whatever.
I've been to one haunted house this season.
Oh shit.
I went to Fear City in Chicago.
I love that name.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I've been to all the ones in Florida, like Scream at Busch Garden and Halloween Horror Nights. Yeah, and so they have these huge budgets and they do it like completely right, and they have name brand horror monsters and stuff, so that's a lot to live up to when you've experienced that. And Fear City did a pretty good job. The only problem I really had was like a lot of the actors like in the thing, you could kind of tell they were like local people sort of hired, and they were trying their best, but like, you know, at Halloween Horror Nights they scare you and they don't really talk to you, but they would kind of talk to you. It's almost like they were trying to more awkward you. They were trying to like make you feel scared by making you feel awkward when they come up to you and be like, where are my brains? Where are they? And I'm like, I don't know where your brains are. I just want to get through this house. Sorry. They fell out of my guts. Fell out. Help me find them. No, it's okay. I'm just gonna keep moving. But it was. But it, as far as like production value and like putting money into the houses and making it look like you were walking through real places, they did a great job. Because I've been to other local events that just don't compare at all.
I have a funny. Yeah, I can also relate. I've been over the course of October. Me and my friends went to a bunch of Halloween events out here in California, in Southern California, and we went to Six Flags Fright Fest. We went to Knott's Berry Farms Halloween Haunt out here. But honestly, the best thing that we did all Halloween season, and it was very unassuming. There was this small little harvest festival that nearby where we live, and they basically had a couple mazes and then a corn maze. With they farmed real corn stalks and they made a corn maze out of it. And the corn maze, it was a low budget thing. They didn't have that much money to put into the decor or to the houses or anything like that. But the corn maze was so well done. It was the most frightening thing I've ever. And I've been to Horror Nights multiple years. I've been to a bunch of Halloween events. But that was the most unsettling thing I've ever done in my life. Because
is there people in the maze? Like,
yes.
Okay.
So
jumping out at you and shit?
Yeah, basically you go in. Now, the cool thing about this was, in Horror Nights and the bigger ones, you kind of go in with a big group of people. Like, they let in, like, 10 at a time or something.
Right.
In this, it's just you and your group. So if there's four people in your group, it's just you and your friends. Or if there's just you and another person, it's just you and another person. So they send you in your little group, and then there are, like, I would say maybe 10 actors in the maze or in the corn, but the cool thing is they're like running around in the corn, you're like around you and shit, and they're like surrounding you and whispering and all this cool shit. And because this is a smaller event and the rules are kind of very loose, they can get really, really close and really personal, with you and really like kind of get in your face. But there was one
in your house.
Yeah.
Very personal. I saw your medical report. It doesn't look good.
You have cancer. Oh my god. Run away. But they can like there was one moment where we were walking in a line and one of the actors slipped into our group in the line and no one noticed. And then like she whispered into the ear and the person in front of her and then scurried back into the corn and shit. It was really unsettling. And it was really fun. It showed, and then they had a couple other houses that were also really well done. And it showed to me that, like, I really should pay attention more to local Halloween haunts and stuff, because I don't know if I've just become desensitized from the bigger events, because I've been going so many years and I've worked a couple of them at Horror Nights and out here. But, like, I don't know. It doesn't do anything for me anymore. Like, the ones I went to, the bigger ones out here, weren't that impressive. But that one corn maze was just so unsettling. It was the closest I've ever felt to an actual, like, horror movie, like being in a horror movie. It was really cool. So I would suggest people out there next year, if you guys are planning to go to mazes or anything, try and look around at your local Halloween stuff. And I'm sure you'll find some gems in there, because they're very unassuming, because like when we walked up, it was like a little county fair thing. Like, it was not very impressive at all. There was a lot of like pumpkins off to one side, and it was just like carnival rides and shit. But in the back, they had the mazes and stuff, and they were really well done, and there was like nobody there, which really bummed me out. Hopefully they got busier later in the season. There's no one there, so it was like me and my friends just had the place to ourselves, and it was really fun. I also, I don't know if this is horror related, I also went on the Queen Mary recently.
Okay.
And supposedly it's very haunted. Many films and documentaries have been sent there or have been based there. But they also do a Halloween event every year where they build mazes outside of the Queen Mary. And then you can like go and have fun and shit. But I will admit, when I was there, it was really like the ship is beautiful. But in the bowels of the ship down in the engineering block, it is just looks terrifying down there. Especially when you're by yourself. It's just, like, me and my girlfriend were there, and it was just very quiet. And it's just very unsettling. And they also have a little
haunt. Did you make out?
No, not in front of the ghosts. That's
okay. All right.
I would have fucked in front of... No, I'm kidding. But at the very end, right before we left, they have this haunted tour, quote-unquote. But all it is like, a haunted, like, attraction inside the Queen Mary where they have light effects and shit. Like, no one that pops up at you, per se, but it's just, like, light effects and stuff. But they do take you through some actual locations where people say that are haunted. So that was kind of cool. But it was fun. But, yeah, that's really all the Halloween stuff I've been doing. I mean, I saw Carrie.
Oh, yeah, I saw Carrie as well.
I'm not going to say anything other than just go watch the original on Netflix. It's the same goddamn movie. So just go see the original. You're better off. And I've been reading The Shining because I'm trying to get that read for Dr. Sleep. I want to read the sequel. So that's really all the horror. What about you, Freddy? Yeah, I mean,
I don't have the luxury of going to the haunted houses. I used to go to them like every year, and my brothers, who were like 10 years younger than me, I would take them when they were like. When we lived in Orlando, I went once, I think. So I got to check it out, but only that one time. But we used to go to ones in like northern Georgia, so like smaller ones. There was one called Tom Savini's Crypt of Terror or something like that. It's pretty cool. I don't know. I still don't really, because he's from like New Jersey, so I don't know why he had a haunted house in northern Georgia with his name on it. But I guess, who knows?
Who cares?
Yeah. I remember once, like, 13, 14, and I saw this chick dressed up as Elvira, and she had like giant boobs and everything, and I was with a friend. And I was like, man, look at that, you know, as a typical 14-year-old boy. I was like, man, look at Elvira. I want to get a closer look at those things. So I walk up, and I'm, like, looking at the boobs.
Yeah.
And I get closer and closer, and I realize it's a dude.
Oh.
And I was like, oh.
Oh, it's terrifying. Truly the most horrific thing.
Wait, he had fake boobs, or he just...
Yeah, I guess they're, like, you know, plastic.
It's a funny fact. At the Knott's Berry Farms thing out here, Elvira was, like, the host. Or whatever, and I didn't get to go see her show, but she had like a little stage show. I'm like, good lord, she's still just doing her thing, huh? And however old she is. And then I'm going to a convention.
I saw her in a documentary, and she didn't look like, I think she's probably like in her 50s, 60s.
And she's caked in makeup, so you can never really see what she looks like.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to a convention, Stan Lee's comic convention down here, Kamikaze. I'm going that. On Saturday, she's going to be there as well. I can't get fucking away from Elvira, apparently, this month. She's just everywhere.
I've just been watching a lot more horror movies this month. Mm-hmm. I'm going back and watching old classics. I convinced... I don't think I ever finished my original thought just a minute ago. The reason I don't go to haunted houses anymore is because my wife is completely not a fan of them at all. We attempted to go one year and got in line, and you know, like sometimes while you're waiting in line, the guys will like come out and like fuck with you.
Yeah.
And a guy came in on stilts and was like standing over where we were, and the way they work is like if you don't react to them, they'll leave you alone, but if you kind of get freaked out, they will keep pushing your buttons. And so that happened, and it was just not an enjoyable experience. And you know, it's I really don't want to go by myself to
right
go to a haunted house. So but we do watch some movies. That's I get that privilege. And so this year we watched Halloween 1 and 2.
Nice.
And the
no Season of the Witch. No love for.
No, didn't get that far. I'd like to rewatch, cuz when I watched that as a teenager, like hating it, because I was like, what the fuck is this? Where's Michael Myers? This is bullshit.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's kind of gotten a kind of following now where people respect it, you know, for doing something different, for taking a chance. I haven't watched it since.
Yeah. Well, basically, it was going to be what Trick or Treat was, where it would be like an anthology film. Like, that was the idea that John Carpenter had, was like, oh, yeah, we'll do a Halloween every year and it'll be like a different story. And, like, Michael Myers will be dead, you know, because he died in the second film, so we'll just keep going. But people were so disappointed with Season of the Witch that they just – all they wanted was Michael Myers, so that's what they did from then on.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is
– The thing about the Halloween that – I mean, I'm not going
to – We're not going to review Halloween.
If you haven't seen it by now, then, you know, you're a lost cause. But the thing I didn't realize, because I'd seen it a bunch, I have it on VHS and then I got this 35th anniversary movie that I was watching. And I didn't realize that in the first movie, you don't know why Michael is trying to kill Laurie.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you have your assumption that it's like, is he related? Is it – what's the deal?
It's a random thing in the first movie. He's just a random
occurrence. It's just pretty much because she happened to drop the key off that day when he got out. That's pretty much the only reason. They really don't – they don't hint even – slightly that they're related. There's no other baby in the opening scene when Michael is still
yeah alive. yeah Because my, as we were watching it, my wife was asking me, like, why is she going after him? And I was like, well, it's obvious. It's his sister. And she's like, it's not obvious. Where are you getting that? And I'm like, good point. I don't know. Why do I know that it's his sister? And then we watched the second one, and then they reveal it. And I was
That's like
oh.
The big reveal in the second movie is, like, you're actually his sister.
I don't
like,
think. Right. I really don't think it was intended to be a sister when they made the first movie.
I think
it was just something they made up.
I think that what the terrifying thing about that is, it's just a random occurrence. Like, he just picks her because, like you said, she was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. And he sees her, and he's attracted to her. Like something about her catches his attention, and he focuses on her. And I think that's what was scary about the first one before you see the second one is, like, oh, my God, it was just random. Like, there was no rhyme or reason to why Michael went after her. But then when you see the second one, you're like, oh, I guess, like, it's not as scary anymore because you're like, oh, it didn't just happen to anybody. He singled her out because she's family.
If you're going to see the original Halloween, I can recommend the Riff Trax version because that's how my wife and I watched it. This Halloween, we've actually been watching a lot of Riff Trax horror movies. So we watched Night of the Living Dead, Halloween, and Carnival of Souls are the three that we've watched so far.
Are you shitting? You don't know what Riff Trax is. Good lord.
That's the...
I do know. I'm doing this for our
for the audience.
Riff Trax would be the Mystery Science Theater 3000, Mike and the other two.
Kevin and... Mike, Kevin, and I forgot the third guy's name.
Yeah.
Bill? I don't remember.
So
it's a shame. I grew up... Well, it's Mike, Crow, and Tom.
Yes.
Servo. It's just not the puppets.
It's basically the ones who were there for the Sci-Fi Channel years of Mystery Science Theater, and it's their new thing where they can make fun of newer movies by selling it as an MP3 that you sync up. But then for Carnival of Souls and Night of the Living Dead and some older movies like public domain movies and some things that are easy to get the license for, they put them as video on demand and DVDs, so that's how we saw some of them as well. And I recommend it for all of them. They make, you know, because, I don't know, maybe just from years of watching Mystery Science Theater, but I can enjoy a movie on its own and the riff track or the Mystery Science track at the same time and actually kind of experience both in my mind separately. So that's the first way I'd ever seen Carnival of Souls, which I know had been a Criterion movie and is this masterpiece, but, you know, they really ripped into it. So, but I'm still able to enjoy the movie for what it was. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, it's for films that I've seen recently. Mentioned Carrie, but again, don't really need to talk about it because it's the same movie. But I two films that I did check out that I heard a lot about when they came out, but I kind of missed the boat was VHS. I saw the original and the sequel, and those are pretty good. They're all right. I think I don't know why. I think I dug the second one a little bit more. And
you're wrong.
I know. No, I like in the original how it's way more grounded in realism. Like, you could believe that you would find tapes like that. Like, one of my favorite stories in the first one, other than the last story, is the one with the couple traveling across the country.
Yeah, that's by far the best one.
That's the best one because it's just like you would believably see that. Like, I could see that happening in real life, and it was fucking terrifying. And you don't see it coming at all. The twist at the end. But I don't know. There was something about the sequel. Like, there were two stories. The last two stories in VHS 2 I thought were fucking great. Like, the story with the cult leader guy and all of his, like, daughter wives, whatever.
Right.
That was fucking amazing.
I liked
every second of it.
Without spoiling it.
Yeah.
I liked it up until the end.
Oh, it was
like, literally the last couple of the last word that is spoken.
It's so good.
It's so dumb.
Like, it is.
It ruins it. Like, it's so good, and then it turns into this like chase. And
yeah.
It's silly, and it's so over the top, and
don't
then like the last.
Give that coming. Like, it's so good. I
just because you don't see it coming doesn't mean it's good. Like it's pretty off the rails from like 10 minutes in. And then by 20 minutes of it, or however long it is, when it's about to be over, it's just so ridiculous. Like, it goes from being like a creepy kind of like, you know, horror thing to being like almost like a thriller, over-the-top, crazy, I don't know. it's a short film by then.
It had this weird, so over the top, it came back around and made it amazing. I like, it went so far, like, once that crazy shit starts happening, you're like, what the? And then when the moment happens where you're talking about where that something shows up,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, what the fuck? This is great. I don't know. I dug it. And then the last...
Does this make you want to see this, Danny?
I would recommend seeing them. I mean, they're...
I guess so. Now I'm wondering, these things that show up, as far as not spoiling something, you're doing a pretty good job.
And then, like... I mean, I will admit, okay, yeah. I mean, the first one was way more creepier and atmospheric and, like, did its job really well, whereas, like, it blended, like, this could be real, but I know it's not, but it could be because it was shot really believably, except for one story that involved an iMac or, like, Skype. That story kind of bugged the shit out of me because I was just like, why would someone VHS record a Skype call? But that bothered me. But, the sequel, I don't know, like, the last two stories, like, the rest of the stories weren't very good, but those last two, I don't know, like, tickled something nice in me, and I enjoyed the hell out of them. The last one reminded me of this miniseries on Fox that they aired years and years and years ago, I think on Halloween, about a family that is, like, in a home that suddenly aliens show up, and then they're trying to break into their house, but it's all from a handy cam perspective, like, it's a found footage thing. It was one of the creepiest fucking things I'd ever seen when I was a kid, and I've never seen it again. I don't know where the hell it is. I don't know if people have copies of it. I forgot the name of it. But if you look it up, just look up, like, Fox sci-fi, like, UFO horror thing.
You'll get
X-Files. But it's really creepy. It reminded me of that. But anyway, I liked VHS. The brutality of the first one and second one were really unexpected, and that was interesting. But yeah. And, yeah, I don't know. What else is there? We got anything else?
I just wanted to recommend for a movie that hasn't come out yet, but I've heard nothing but good things to look forward to in 2014. I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but there's a movie called Now, I said that whole spiel, and then the title escaped from my brain. It's called
Great. So sold me so far.
It's something with the devil.
Oh, okay, good.
Is that ringing any bells?
The devil? I don't know.
House of the Devil?
No.
Art of the Devil is a really good, I think it's Korean horror film series. That's just
I saw
amazing.
The Devil?
No, I Saw the Devil was, we talked about that.
Yeah.
We did.
That's really good. Go see that. That's on Netflix.
Keep talking about devil movies. Give me a second.
Fuck it. Oh, wait. Is it the one with the baby? Is it a found footage movie? And she's going to have
baby.
It's like Rosemary's Baby. Devil's Zoo.
The Devil Wears Prada.
That's going to be amazing.
The Devil's Advocate.
Oh, so good. Devil's Rejects.
No.
The Devil Inside.
That's already came out, though.
I know.
There's also a movie just called Devil, the one that M. Night Shyamalan did.
Right.
I totally fucked that up. I'm sorry.
What's it about?
It's about these kids that go. I think it's a Spanish film, and they go on a vacation, and they wander off from their family, and they're on these mountains, and they come back, and they are, like, basically possessed by the devil.
Oh.
Two kids. And it's just fucking...
Paranormal Activity, the Mark One.
Crazy. And I'm really upset that I can't remember the damn name of it. I don't know.
Well,
is there any movies that you guys have... Is there any horror stuff that you guys have heard about coming out that you haven't seen?
Two. A couple years.
What was that?
Trick or Treat 2, as I mentioned before.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the only trailer for a horror movie that I've seen, Paranormal Activity, the marked ones, I don't really care, but it is weird. It just looks weird that it takes place in South Central or East Los Angeles in, like, modern day with a bunch of Spanish kids. That's kind of weird. Devil's Do looks ridiculous. I might watch that when it comes out on Netflix.
It's Devil's Do.
Devil's Do is basically Rosemary's Baby from a found footage perspective. That's pretty much the gist of it. It's a woman who is pregnant, and then these people start following her, and her husband starts noticing this weird shit start happening, and she's basically having Satan's baby or something. And
I remember the name of the movie.
Okay, go.
Here Comes the Devil.
We would have hit it. We would have hit it. If we would have kept guessing devil
type. Not here. It's not Here Comes the Boom. Don't get confused.
Oh, shit. Because I would have watched that.
Here
Comes the Devil.
Yeah. It looks... Watch the trailer. It just looks fucking
is
bad.
It found footage or is it a movie?
No. It's a regular. Okay. You had found footage. You're like, it's
I
a found
footage.
Found footage.
No. You ever seen...
I don't give a shit about it if it isn't found footage.
Speaking of possession films, The Last Exorcism. You saw that? Did we talk about that?
I don't think so.
That was pretty good. That's another found footage thing that if you dig that kind of thing, that was fun. Not the sequel, but the original. If you can find the original on Netflix, maybe.
Didn't Eli Roth like produce that one?
I think so.
I saw that. It was pretty good.
It was decent. It does get a little goofy at the end. It does have a very VHS2 type finale with that one story. But it's pretty cool. It deals with, like Grave Encounters, it deals with the whole thing of like someone who's skeptical. You follow a skeptic kind of, and then real shit starts happening. And that's pretty cool. And then, two real quick recommendations on Netflix that you can watch. One is American Scream.
Speaking of haunted houses.
Yeah, it's a documentary. It's really well done. It's about a small town. I forget where, but it's a small town. It follows these groups of people that...
Isn't it like Maine or something like that?
Massachusetts or Maine or something like that, where they... or it's in somewhere in Massachusetts or in Maine, where it follows these groups of people who do every year do their own haunted houses in their backyards. And it just shows the like commitment they have to it, how much they put into it. And it's really... interesting to see how into it these people are, but almost at the detriment of their family sometimes. Like, they sink so much money into doing it every year that, like, one of the families has, like, a tough financial situation. But they're still pulling together to pull it off because they know it's important to the community and stuff like that. It's really well done. I'd recommend that. And the second one I would recommend is, again, I think it's still on Netflix. Check out this. It's... very unsettling, but it's... oh, what the fuck is the name of it? Hell House. Is that the name of it?
Yes.
Hell House, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking.
That's a book by... what's his name? Richard
Matheson.
It's
a book on Netflix. It's a book on Netflix.
No, it's there is a book called Hell House by Richard Matheson, which I think has been made...
oh, no. Okay, yeah, it's called Hell House. There's a documentary called Hell House, and it's on Netflix, and it's basically about a this church every year puts on a haunted house.
Oh, yeah.
The themes of the haunted house are, like, abortion and, like, drug overdose and,
right,
like, shit like that. Like, very controversial themes that are, like, they're saying, like, oh, but if you found Jesus, none of this shit would ever happen. Pretty much. And it's just watching these people is fucking unsettling,
yeah,
and terrifying.
I saw that years ago, I think the movie might have had a little trouble getting released,
yeah,
because it was made a long time ago. It was made probably in like
2001.
I know they talk a lot about Harry Potter and Magic the Gathering and these very early 2000s things, so I had to get it through like unofficial means because there was no official release for a really long time. But I remember it not being as like as the church not being as strict as like the Jesus Camp church, like, because someone actually confronts them about their homosexuality is evil take, and like they don't get pissed off at the guy, like they don't, you know.
They don't, but at the end, like, it's weird when everyone goes to the house, they pull you into a room and they say, if you don't want any of that to happen to you, walk into this door and we'll save you, pretty much.
Yeah,
and
it was still pretty crazy, but I just, comparing it to Jesus Camp, it wasn't...
Oh, no, yeah.
They seem slightly more reasonable as people, but it's still, I definitely recommend it.
Oh, yeah, because it has to do with Halloween. It's related, because, again, it has to do with houses. But this shit is real. We've been talking a lot about fictional stuff. This is nonfiction. Like, American Scream, great fun to watch. Again, fills you with the Halloween spirit. Hell House is just terrifying in general, because it actually happens. But yeah, those are two more recommendations that I can throw out there if you want to check those out. So yeah, I think that about wraps it up. I think we have to get back to our graves now. And
another year.
Hibernate for another year.
Yeah, we may or may not be, you know, there may be some spells that resurrect us before then, but you never know. Just keep your eyes peeled to breaktheforthwall.com. That's where, if anything new goes up, it'll go up there. New podcasts, new what have you. Also on our Facebook, you can find us. Just search The Fourth Wall Podcast or The Fourth Wall. You'll see the 4WP logo. We're also on Twitter. It's at 4WP.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And, yeah, you can find us all through there, and we'll try and come back more often, like I said, but we need someone to read some spells and shit for us to get out of our graves. But anyway, I think that about wraps it up here. Thanks for listening. Have a happy Halloween, and we'll talk to you guys next time. I'm Jesse.
I'm Freddy.
And I'm Danny.
And we'll see you all ghouls next time. Damn it, that fucked up, as I was saying.
We'll see you all ghouls next time. We'll see all you vampire time.
Mummies and werewolves. I'm just going to say things that are Halloween related now. Pumpkins.
Pumpkins.
Candy corn.
Pumpkin spice latte.
You can't get it. Dude, every fucking where is pumpkin. Everywhere. Something pumpkin flavored.
Did you see the Saturday Night Live skit where they do the pumpkin douche?
No.
It's like the smell of the season is here. You've got coffee, you've got, you know, snacks. Finally, we've got pumpkin douche.
I wouldn't be surprised if Starbucks sold that.